wash your hands.
And coming up in 1 hour, Mike Sargent and the Night Shift. But right now it's 9 p.m. You're tuned to listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. Time now for the joy of resistance.
Joy of resistance. We're sisters of the joy of resistance. No corporation, government, religion, husband, father, brother, gonna define our existence. Keeping organized together, we have come a long distance. Joy, joy of resistance. Sisters of the joy of resistance. No corporation, government, religion, husband, father, brother, gonna define our existence. Joy.
A couple of weeks ago, we asked you, our loyal listeners, readers, and fans, to rank some of the pretty awful anti-choice legislation and some cringe-worthy quotes from anti-choice lawmakers. We've now taken all of that harmful nonsense and put it on items like...
In this room, we are going to smash it. These lies, these falsehoods into smithereens. So our first item here, this quote, y'all, okay, I got to...
Center yourself.
Okay. I am supporting legislation to prohibit any government-mandated vaccine passports and to ensure this vaccine remains a voluntary, personal choice. That's anti-choice. Tennessee Governor Hillary.
Okay, so I have a question. So it's a my body, my choice thing when it comes to masks, but not when it comes to, I don't know, invading people's uteruses? And we're going to smash! Science and biology, through things like DNA and heartbeats and brainwaves and pain response, tell us that there are two unique human beings involved. That's Georgia Senator P.K. Martin. I'm going to smash this. I think I'm going to do it with a baseball bat. We're good. All right.
Woo! All right.
An attack on this dumbest clinic in Lubbock. Let's smash it. It's time to smash it. I'm gonna get out of the way. I'm gonna hide behind this pole. It just bounced off. Did it just bounce off? Smash it again.
You are hearing. Okay. You are hearing the sounds of two venerable feminists, attorneys no less, Jessica Mason Pieklo, frequent guest on our show, and Imani Gandhi, smashing a lot of crockery, at an event by entitled actually "Smashing the Patriarchy," which was a benefit for Rewire.News. And you're going to be hearing a lot more of this in our show because the theme of tonight's show is feminist frustration. And these two women vented some of that frustration that we are all feeling as we watch hard-fought-for feminist gains finally making their way into halfway decent legislation in the House of Representatives, but not going anywhere, being blocked at the Senate door by the filibuster. And, a lot of feminist frustration is happening. And a little bit later, we're going to asking for you, the listener, to call in. And hopefully we will hear from frustrated feminists who are feeling this frustration and will be smashing some more things, as well as hearing more of that Rewire.News great fundraiser where they smashed a lot of stuff. Okay, but before all that, we're going to speak with Jennifer Weiss-Wolf, who is both Vice President and a Women and Democracy Fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU, and she's written an article entitled "The Filibusters Continues to Undermine Democracy, the ERA, and Other Advancements for Women and Civil Rights." And we're going to be talking to her about that very frustrating situation. And after that, we're going to be speaking with Kamala Lopez and Natalie White of Equal Means Equal. And they are doing an action in the street to finally pass the ERA, that piece of legislation that would do nothing less than give us basic rights in this country, basic rights as women in this country, shall not be abridged on account of sex. And that is also a very frustrating situation, but they are out there doing something that suffragists did before we got the vote, after 75 years, about a century ago. And that is a vigil, a sentinel project, they're calling it, and they are calling on the Attorney General to release the ERA so that it's become law, and we'll be talking with them. And as I said, you'll be hearing a lot more smashing throughout the show, because that's how a lot of us are feeling. So before we do anything else, we're going to go to the Feminist Worldwide News. And by the way, you are, of course, listening to the Joy of Resistance Multicultural Feminist Radio at WBAI, coming to you at 9 p.m. every Monday, except when there's special fundraising programming, and bringing you the worldwide news for women, the struggle of women throughout the world for full human and equal rights. So stay tuned for a little bit of the worldwide feminist news. Okay. And the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, which has provided health coverage to more than 31 million Americans since it was passed in 2010, has once again been upheld by the Supreme Court in a 7-2 decision on Tuesday. The justices ruled that Texas and the other Republican-led states who sued to prove the ACA was unconstitutional has no legal standing to challenge the ACA in court. The loss of the ACA would have been a devastating blow to millions of women. The ACA bans sex discrimination in health insurance, including higher insurance costs for women. It also mandates coverage for pregnancy and maternity care and requires coverage of birth control and mammograms without copays or deductibles. Finally, it prevents insurance companies from declining to cover people with pre-existing conditions, which before the ACA included, among other things, pregnancy, menstrual irregularities, and having been the victim of domestic violence. This is the third time the Supreme Court has taken up a case concerning the ACA after Republican-led lawsuits were struck down in 2012 and 2015. It is believed that one of the reasons behind the rushed confirmation of conservative Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who opposes the ACA, was to have her join in striking it down when it came before the Supreme Court for a third time. However, she did not do that. While the Affordable Care Act is far from a truly feminist solution to health care, which would be a no deductibles, no private insurance, inclusive of everyone system, it has helped to mitigate some of the challenges women face in the health care system presently. In 2013 alone, no copay birth control saved U.S. women $483 million, or an average of $269 per woman. If it were repealed, as many as one-third of Americans could lose their coverage.
All right. Thanks, Fran. And now for some more good news. Nearly 50 years after it first took effect, North Carolina's 20-week abortion ban was unanimously declared unconstitutional by the Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. Now, this ban had been in effect since 1973 and was enacted initially as a response to the Supreme Court's decision in Roe v. Wade. Now, in 2015, abortion providers filed a lawsuit to challenge this 20-week ban after the North Carolina state legislature passed some more restrictions on abortion access, which included a 72-hour waiting period before obtaining an abortion, as well as limitations on medical exemptions. In their case, North Carolina claimed that it had never used the ban to prosecute an abortion provider, and as a result, the providers didn't have grounds to sue. However, the court rejected this claim. In her opinion, Judge Diana Motz wrote, quote, amidst a wave of similar state action across the country, North Carolina has enacted legislation to restrict the availability of abortions and impose heightened requirements on abortion providers and women seeking abortions. Given these facts, we cannot reasonably assume that the abortion ban that North Carolina keeps on its books is largely symbolic, end quote.
Okay. This week, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops will convene to debate whether President Joe Biden and other Catholic politicians who support access to abortion should be denied communion as a result. The American arm of the Roman Catholic Church has voted overwhelmingly to draft, quote, a formal statement on the meaning of the Eucharist in the life of the Church, close quote, that, if approved, could allow individual bishops to prevent Catholic politicians who disagree with church doctrine about abortion from receiving the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is a ritual commemorating the Last Supper of Jesus Christ that forms a central part of Catholic services. The vote represents a departure from previous church positions on issues such as the death penalty and reflects a growing division among Catholics bishops regarding the importance of opposing abortion to the Catholic faith and how involved the Catholic Church should be in politics more broadly. These debates have been reignited since Biden became the nation's second Catholic president. Though he has opposed abortion in the past, Biden has taken some steps to expand abortion access since taking office. Last month, he relieved his 2022 federal budget, which notably does not include the Hyde Amendment. This amendment has been in place since 1977 and prevents federal funds from being used for abortion except in cases of rape, incest, or life-threatening medical complications. Without the Hyde Amendment, women who rely on Medicaid and other government programs will be able to access abortion more easily.
All right. The New York Times has reported that more young women spanning many ethnic groups are delaying becoming mothers, which has resulted in the slowest growth of the U.S. population since the 1930s. The birth rate for women in their 20s has fallen by 28%. Interviewees in that article cited costs of childcare and housing as influencing their decisions, and they said they wanted to get their careers going first before having children. While this has mainly been true for white women in the past, it is now becoming more widespread, with Hispanic and Latino women, who once had the highest fertility rate of any major ethnic group, have seen the largest drop in fertility rates. Women who live in rural areas that are stagnant economically are still having higher rates of births, but women in cities and in developing areas where there is more opportunity for economic advancement are having fewer children. Many of the women interviewed expressed satisfaction that they were getting control of their fertility and anticipated better lives because of it.
All right. And that is some of the news. Broadly applying to women in this world. The news was read by myself, Fran Luck, and Halsey Hazard, and both of us compiled it and wrote it. And it's a little bit short tonight because we have so much to bring you. We urge you to stay tuned when we will be speaking with Jennifer Weiss-Wolf about this huge logjam of legislation that actually could really benefit women, give us things we've fought for a long time, and yet cannot seem to get anywhere because of the filibuster. So she wrote a pretty good article in Ms. Magazine about that, and we'll be speaking to her in a few minutes. So please stay tuned. Jennifer Weiss-Wolf to come onto the phone. Jennifer, having a little problem reaching you. If you are listening, you can call us at 212-209-2877. And maybe we can connect that way. But let's turn that music down and I can at least speak about this issue. Right, good. Thank you, Max. So, I'm going to just start talking about this, and hopefully we'll get Jennifer Weiss-Wolf on the phone. And if we don't, we have a lot of stuff from the wonderful, wonderful Smashing Patriarchy tapes that we started to play for you, and we'll go on with that. All right. So here's just some of the legislation right now that is causing us to just tear our hair out and smash things that because it can't get through. It can't get to the Senate. It can't be voted on, even though it would help women a lot. Okay, we've got the Violence Against Women Act, which is very, very important. This time it's extending that to more groups. I don't have a list of that right now, but it's very, very important to give women who are experiencing violence, which is something like one in four women in this country, shelters, places to go, legal help, all kinds of help, as well as education about violence against women. So that's very necessary. It's usually confirmed by every legislature. It's a federal law, and it gets confirmed and confirmed again. And this time, it's not going through. We have the Paycheck Fairness Act, which helps women who are notoriously underpaid with removing penalties for showing that what you earn to other women. Will fill in all kinds of gaps in legislation that is already on the books about women and equal pay. We have the American Families Plan with its large funding expenditure for child care, which is needed especially at this time when women have lost so many jobs because of the pandemic. And most recently, we have the Women's Health Protection Act, which would override the hundreds of bills passed in Republican state legislatures that severely limit or restrict abortion. I mean, this incredible amount of bills that activists have worked for a long time to get the government to take seriously. Joe Biden, due to this pressure, we don't say he originated this himself, but due to real organizing that's been going on for years, is coming through with some of this. And yet nothing that he has put forth can seem to get anywhere. And then there are more general bills that, of course, also impact women. The Voting Rights Act, which would stop a slew of racist voting bills that would make voting harder, especially for black people. There's the For the People Act, coming out of the Black Lives Matter movement and addressing police brutality and police racism. And that's only some of what's fueling feminist frustration and general frustration at this moment in time. Speaking of frustration, do we have Jennifer Weiss-Wolf on the phone yet, Max?
No, I'm afraid the number I have goes to an old man who doesn't know Jennifer.
I am really sorry. That was the number I was sent. So
it's also the number from the last time she was on.
And it is the number from the last time she was on, right. Maybe something has changed in the meantime. Anyway, we are going to keep going. Max, I'd like to go back to some of that great, great recording of Smashing the Patriarchy that you started out playing. And this time we'll go through it and we'll let women and people in the audience hear what was going on as Jessica Mason Pieklo, who is a noted attorney and reporter for Rewire.News, and Imani Gandhi, also with Rewire.News. By the way, that's a great blog, and they're trying to raise some money to keep going. And that's what all of the sound that we'll be playing was actually for, to get people to donate, as these women read off some of the most egregious and awful anti-woman stuff that's been going down in this country. And took out sledgehammers. They wore construction hats and all kinds of, you know, overalls and stuff. And they had a whole room set aside, and they had lots of crockery, and they had a big sledgehammer. And they had a ball smashing the crockery in the name of the things that have been frustrating them as activists for so long and are frustrating us all. So let's go to that and hear some of the patriarchy, smashing patriarchy stuff, and get ready to volunteer your own ideas of what maybe should be smashed in the patriarchy, or, of course, really overcome and overturned. So if we can have that sound, that would be good.
A couple of weeks ago, we asked you, our loyal listeners, readers, and fans, to rank some of the pretty awful anti-choice legislation and some cringe-worthy quotes from anti-choice lawmakers. We've now taken all of that harmful nonsense and put it on items like...
In this room, we are going to smash it. These lies, these falsehoods into smithereens. So our first item here, this quote. Y'all, okay, I gotta
center yourself.
Okay. I am supporting legislation to prohibit any government-mandated vaccine passports and to ensure this vaccine remains a voluntary, personal choice. That's anti-choice Tennessee Governor Bill Lee.
Okay, so I have a question. So it's a my body, my choice thing when it comes to masks? But not when it comes to, I don't know, invading people's uteruses, and we're going to smash! Science and biology, through things like DNA and heartbeats and brain waves and pain response, tell us that there are two unique human beings involved. That's Georgia Senator P.K. Martin. I'm going to smash this. I think I'm going to do it with a baseball bat. We're good. All right. Whew!
This is a targeted attack.
It's an attack on this clinic in Lubbock. Let's smash it. It's time to smash it. I'm going to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to hide behind this pole. It just bounced off. Did it just bounce off? Smash it again.
All right.
Okay. Get it. Oh, got it. Nice. The Arizona law that would require the parent of a minor to consent before an abortion is provided. Do you know why that's terrible? Because a lot of times youth grow up in, I don't know, abusive households, bad situations. If they're old enough to decide to have a kid, if that's what you want to force a minor to do, then they're old enough to decide and mature enough to decide to have an abortion. I'm smashing it. Are you ready? It smashed on the bounce back. There are a lot of bills called trigger bills, trigger laws, right? And these laws go into effect as soon as the Supreme Court reverses Roe versus Wade. Texas just recently passed one, and it's going to immediately outlaw abortions if and when the U.S. Supreme Court reverses Roe versus Wade, which is probably in about 1 year from today. So I'm going to smash this because that sucks. I think I'm just going to throw it. Ready? Oh, shoot. Okay. All right, we gotta talk about fetal heartbeats.
Oh yeah, so we're gonna do this for fire.
We're gonna do this. I'm gonna take off these glasses.
Yeah.
Serious business here.
I'll hold
okay.
the weapon. I'm the accomplice.
There's an Oklahoma abortion ban that would charge medical providers with homicide if they perform an abortion when a quote-unquote fetal heartbeat is detected. Now, you're a law nerd. You understand that there's no such thing as a fetal heartbeat. Fetuses don't have heartbeats. Embryos don't have heartbeats.
Zygotes, no heartbeats.
Sperm, nary a heartbeat to be found.
No.
So when they talk about fetal heartbeats, what they're really talking about is electrical activity in the fetal pole. It's like just cardiac electrical activity, but that doesn't sound as good as fetal heartbeat.
No.
So they always talk about fetal heartbeat. You know what? Time to smash it. Out of the way, Jess. Safety glasses. Esther's hitting the deck. All right, wait. Okay. Just bounce. All right. But there's a war going on, guys. There's a real war going on our bodies.
5-5 with a stretch.
Oh! Okay.
Wind up as much.
It's important because our rights are being won and lost in the courts, right? I mean, that's just the bottom line. Abortion very well could be criminalized in a lot of states as of this time next year.
Yeah, no, but
we but you know what we do do?
And smash!
We smash! So let's smash some things. Smash it up. Oh, God, you're going to love this one, Jess. This one's for you.
Okay, all right.
For those of you who have been following abortion rights and reefer rights law for a while, y'all are going to remember this one. Remember legitimate rape? Todd Aikman. What? Whole thing down. No. What are you talking about? No, what is a legitimate rape? Oh, that was a better one than I did. Go smash it some more. Good. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. That's satisfying. All right, I'm going to use a baseball bat, just like they did in Office Space.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Office Space? All right, let's see. Not heavy enough. So we're going to smash, finally, this Tennessee bill that would grant quote-unquote fathers the veto power over an abortion without exception for rape or incest. That means whoever, even if someone raped you, it doesn't matter, they get a say. I'm going to put on my safety glasses.
And also, Planned Parenthood versus Casey already had a say about that.
They really did.
Spousal
notification
is... Do you know who likes spousal consent?
Sam Alito! Did you know that? Did you know it? Fun fact.
Yes.
Sam Alito wrote the Third Circuit opinion in Planned Parenthood versus Casey and would have upheld all of it!
Including a spousal... Father's veto.
Including a father's veto and including spousal notification.
Right,
so...
Here.
You have been listening to the sounds of Jessica Mason Pieklo and Imani Gandhi, both feminist attorneys and reporters who went a little wild and smashed up a lot of crockery while reading some of the most egregious anti-woman stuff that has come down the pike, the stuff that makes you want to, quote, smash the patriarchy, which was the name of their event, okay? And if you were listening, you were hearing them deal with parental consent before a young person can get an abortion, with trigger bills that will go into effect if Roe versus Wade is overturned and everyone involved in abortions will become criminals. Senator Todd Aiken's couple of years old comment about legitimate rape, and I suppose not legitimate rape, and legitimate rape somehow makes sure you won't get pregnant from that rape, which was unscientific, bigoted BS. And Tennessee actually passing a father's veto, or maybe it was proposing it, whatever it was pretty bad, that fathers have the right to veto the potential mother getting an abortion. Okay, and they were smashing up stuff. Hope you enjoyed that. We're going to go in a few minutes to Kamala Lopez.
We do have Jennifer on the line.
We do have Jennifer on the line. Well, we had reserved this for another group of guests who are waiting. So I think we're going to ask Jennifer back another night and just go to Kamala Lopez and Natalie White, who are going to be talking about an event that actually gives us some hope, because it's out there in the street and it is not giving up in spite of significant obstacles. And that is an event called the Sentinel Project, which is very reminiscent of what women did 100 years ago before finally winning the vote, which was they stood sentinel right up at the White House gates, and they had banners that said, "Mr. President, how long must women wait for equality?" And this project is reminiscent of that. It is addressing Attorney General Merrick Garland, who has in his power to publish the ERA, which already has been ratified by 38 states. Once you publish it, it becomes law. And there was a memo by Attorney General Barr, Trump's Attorney General, to not publish it called the Barr Memo. And what the Sentinel Project is saying is rescind the Barr Memo and publish the ERA. I mean, we've been waiting for, 98 years for it, literally 98 years, first introduced in 1923 as the next step after the vote for women. Max, do we have Kamala Lopez and Natalie White on?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hi, Kamala and Natalie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. What you're doing is so important. Let me tell our audience a little bit about both of you. Of course, Kamala Lopez is a film director and is the founder of Equal Means Equal, which is one of the primary groups that is working for passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. And she is also the
Hello?
Oh, do we lose Fran?
I'm going to
hope that Max calls Fran while I pick over and introduce the two of you. I believe Fran was just talking about Kamala Lopez.
Look, it's so much. First of all, let's smash the patriarchy.
Right on.
Metaphorically as well. Standing outside the Department of Justice, come join us. We're there every day, Monday through Friday, at least until July 4th. We've got to get them to do this before our case gets a ruling handed down in appeals court. If that happens and this amendment has not been published, it creates a real problem for women and undermines the work that we've done for over a century. So it's absolutely absurd that with Biden in the White House, who purports to care about the Equal Rights Amendment, with Kamala Harris in the White House, who has stated publicly multiple times that the ERA is something that should be done immediately, the fact that they are doing nothing, that they are not responding, is extremely concerning. It means that something about this picture is false. You know, there's a lot of lip service going on, but when road, we have not been taken care of by this administration. They've had over 150 days to make 1 5-minute phone call, and they haven't done it. And women are being thrown under the bus. And let me say this. If they think that we will not blame them, the Biden administration and the Democrats, for not publishing ERA, they have another thing coming. We put these people in their jobs. Not one more dollar to the DNC until they ratify ERA, publish it, and end of story. Natalie's out there on the street. She puts her body on the line, and that's what we need to be doing. We're taking it way too easy right now. Natalie, tell them what's going on every day.
So every day from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., then 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., we have volunteers standing outside the Department of Justice holding signs that say, Merrick Garland, how long must women wait for equality? And we also, if you don't have time to take out of your day to, or if you don't live in Washington, D.C., and you want to get involved, you can go to our website, equalmeansequal.org, and you can sponsor a Sentinel to stand out there. We're working with an organization of formerly incarcerated women who are for the cause and, need to get paid to stay out there. So you can either volunteer and stand outside from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. or 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. every day, or you can go and donate on our website to sponsor a Sentinel. And also,
that is just great. This is Fran. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm finally back.
I can hear you for a few minutes.
I'm so glad you're both on. Can you tell people how to get to that website and give them all the information they might need?
Sure. It's equalmeansequal.org. Kamala, you can tell them where to click.
Yeah, so on equalmeansequal.org, the first thing we'd like you to do is join us. Join us, it's free, and we'll be able to tell you exactly what's going on and when it's happening, and that way you know what the next actions are. For instance, we're having a town hall on Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, to discuss what happens if we get to January 4th and this administration is still. What happens if this Department of Justice pretends that we're not standing outside of there, if they just invisibilize us and marginalize us like they've been doing since we ratified Virginia in 2020? We have to have another plan. Somebody suggested impeaching the archivist. Somebody suggested taking this to The Hague. We've got to come up with ideas that are going to have impact on this administration immediately. So we urge you to join us. Join the town hall, sponsor a sentinel, show up yourself, call people you know in D.C., and ask allies to come out for us, for women, because women have come out for all of our allies and all of our cause, all of their causes throughout the history of this country. The ERA is something for women, and we never do anything for ourselves, and nobody ever sticks up for us as much as we stick up for everybody else. So now's an opportunity for our allies to really step up.
And, we have had
Wendy Murphy, another cohort of yours, on our show, who has said that many judges have said to us that as she advocated legally for women, that she could not get even laws on the books enforced because of the lack of an equal rights amendment, that gives you the highest level of enforcement, and we as women don't have that. It is so incredibly important. So please go on, Natalie. I did interrupt you.
Yes, so more to what you're saying is, sure, there are great state laws for women, but when they get up to the U.S. Supreme Court, like the Betty Dukes versus Walmart case, they get overturned for lack of constitutional foundation. So here we are. We've had 38 states ratify. That's the threshold for ratification of the ERA. Bill Barr and Donald Trump blocked the ratification. So we sued the archivist. Now that we have Merrick Garland and Joe Biden in the White House and in the position of Attorney General, you would think that it would change. But, you know, American women came out and voted against Donald Trump because they didn't want Donald Trump in the White House, and they didn't want William Barr to be the Attorney General because they didn't like their policies. But Joe Biden and Merrick Garland are holding up the policies on ERA that William Barr and Donald Trump did.
We were in court, and a Biden attorney was arguing against Wendy Murphy, Fran. We were face to face with an ardent anti-ERA attorney from Joe Biden's DOJ. They didn't drop the cases against us. They didn't stop. They even used the decision in the Virginia case, where the judge went completely off the rails and started saying that the archivist could decide what he wanted to do and when he wanted to do it. And nobody sort of questioned that. And they filed that decision against us in our case. I mean, there's something very disingenuous going on here with this administration where they pretend to care about women. But when it really matters, they are nowhere to be found. They're not answering the phone. They're not showing up. The
they're
only thing
only
they care about is
nowhere
money.
To be found. They're fighting us.
Yeah, exactly. We know where they're found. They're found following Donald Trump's lead. It's despicable. Yeah. It's frightening.
It is very frightening to me that women are not en masse protesting with everything in us, because this is our amendment. This is our amendment to the U.S. Constitution that has been fought for close to a century, and it really is meaningful. It is not just symbolic. We cannot even get equal pay enforced, according to lawyer Wendy Murphy, without an ERA. So everything else we're fighting for, we can't get. without that basic guarantee.
But why
guarantee.
Aren't the major
Let me just tell our audience that they're listening to The Joy of Resistance, Multicultural Feminist Radio at WBAI. I'm Fran Luck. My guests right now are Natalie White and Kamala Lopez of Equal Means Equal, and we're talking about one of the most important pieces of legislation for women ever, because it puts a floor under every other kind of legislation for women. Very, very, very critical, asking everyone listening to get involved. Tell me, can people also get in touch with the administration and say, you know, cancel the bar memo and all that? I know that was part
Absolutely.
Of your campaign.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we want them. And actually, there's a letter right there on our website you can download. You can send by snail mail, or you can cut and paste into a form, which goes directly to the DOJ. There are multiple actions you can take if you don't want to physically stand out there, or you can't and you don't have funding. There are letters and phone calls to be made. But what I want to just mention is the fact that we have a corporate feminist infrastructure that is presently actually diverting women's attention from this very important fight. We have an establishment women's movement that really is a political arm of the Democratic Party at the end of the day. And that does not help us, because partisan politics will never help women as a class. All it does is make them continue to pass us back and forth over different decades, you know, when we're one party likes us and one party, you know, bottom line, men are in control. They're not giving it up. We must make sure that the ERA is adopted immediately. We may lose the one chance we have in this century.
Wow. Okay, I hope everyone is taking that in. I'd like you both to stay on the line, and we have promised our listeners that we would be taking phone calls and continuing with our theme of Smash the Patriarchy. What we are going to do is, if there is an aspect of the patriarchy that you are angry at, and it certainly can include the ERA as you are talking, give us a ring and tell us what it is, and we will provide sound effects. In which you may feel that you are getting to smash that. Again, this is, of course, an interim solution and a humorous one, but it's important that we vent our feelings. So we're taking calls at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. And, Max, as we continue our discussion, let us know if we get any phone calls. So, Kamala, as you were saying,
well, now that I've had a minute to for my blood pressure to go down, I just find it remarkable that we find ourselves really being, I guess, blacklisted is not the correct terminology, but there's a media blackout on the fact that women's equality, basic human and civil rights, something that is. You know, foundational to all of the organizations we've ever heard of, is slipping past us without as much of as a word. There are no talk shows that you can get on. There are no newspapers. There are no articles. And you look at that, and you need to understand that the Equal Rights Amendment is a game changer for women. It mandates equal pay. And the reality is that without ERA, regardless of the Paycheck Fairness Act and any other act you want to devise, women will never achieve equal pay without an ERA. Because as you said, Fran, without a floor, you have a situation where women will fall out the bottom end. And that's what happens over and over. Really, it is the a priori first step for women to begin to rebuild a movement that's more honest, a movement that isn't about being in political favor or getting a six-figure salary to sit in a corporate office and push papers around and tell women that they're empowered. While we're getting, raped and murdered to tie with Syria. you know, it's just astonishing the level of cognitive dissonance that American women are tolerating. I just don't understand it, to be honest.
Yeah, well, for instance, the Violence Against Women Act, the first time it was used in the courts, it was gutted for lack of constitutional foundation. If we had the ERA in place, published in the Constitution, it would give all of these acts, laws, and legislation a constitutional foundation to stand on and not be overturned at the U.S. Supreme Court. So state laws against that are equal pay laws in different states are great. But once they're challenged at the U.S. Supreme Court, like the Betty Dukes versus Walmart case, it will get overturned for lack of constitutional foundation.
Which women were seen to not be a class of people, right?
Right. We're not a class of people right now. And that just speaks to how clever they've been to take what is the majority of the population and divide us and pit us against each other to such a point where we have no political power, when in fact we are the single most powerful group in this country. Now, that's a hat trick I'd like to learn how to do. But they've done it.
Well, I'm very glad that you are out there in the street, and I think that what you were doing needs as much attention as possible, and that is one of the reasons we're so glad to have you on Joy of Resistance, because this is what we do. I think that we need to build public awareness. Perhaps somebody should organize a civil disobedience or something that will actually get the media attention, because, of course, that is how political power works in this country. But I'm so thrilled that you are continuing to go on, even though in the face of unfriendly courts and an unfriendly administration. And you are a really heroes. And I'm speaking to Natalie White, who is an attorney and who is an ardent supporter of the Equal Rights Amendment, and Kamala Harris, who founded Equal Means Equal and is still its director. And Equal Means Equal has challenged the Biden administration in court, and it is doing this wonderful Sentinel project. And you can see that, by the way, on the internet. You can take photos of it. You can make flyers of it. We've got to get, you know, around the word that this is happening, which is, that's what WBAI does. We get out what is happening. And this is WBAI at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Do we have any calls, Max?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, we are taking your calls at 212-209-2877. We've got about 7 minutes left if you'd like to get in a comment. And we would also, if you like to hear what you would like to smash in the patriarchy, and we will provide appropriate sound effect. And that should be fun. So we're hoping we'll get some takers. Again, 212-209-2877. Give us a ring. All right. So, yeah, we need to go on. And what you're doing, in a way, reminds me of what Susan B. Anthony did in 1872, when at that point there was this complete impasse in the progress of trying to get the vote for women. There was the federal government was not paying attention. They were rejecting it. There were no more states ratifying. So Susan B. Anthony did what today we would call a direct action. She just went out and she voted, knowing she would get arrested, knowing that that would be publicized, which it was. And, you know, these are all the many pieces that movements are composed of. So, you know, what you're doing is reminiscent of that you're out there and you're, you know, in front of people in the streets and being getting some attention, and hope you get more of it.
Thanks, Fran. You know, Natalie was arrested multiple times trying to get the ERA passed in the last three states. I mean, she does put her body on the line, and that is sometimes necessary. In Saturday's town hall, we would be very interested to hear what any activists suggest in terms of actions, direct actions, anything at all. We're open to ideas. We have to come up with a new angle to address this, because we can't just let it slip by. So please do join us and give us your best ideas, and we will try to implement them.
That's
wonderful. A few years ago, I painted ERA now on the sidewalk in 20-foot letters with paint and a brush right in front of the the Capitol building, and I was arrested a week later. I represented myself in court, went all Abby Hoffman style on them. And we need to bring back something like that in a big way, because it's almost impossible to break this news cycle, these news cycles, with anything about women's rights right now, unless it's something big and explosive. You know, I use that term like in a non-literal way, but we need to do something that really gets the media's attention, that will put the focus on Joe Biden and Merrick Garland, because for the ERA, we still practically have Donald Trump and William Barr, because it's the same policy that they're working against the ERA on. So I would encourage anyone to contact me who would like to get a hold of me through our website, equalmeansequal.org, and contact me if you have any ideas. Maybe we could do them together.
We also want to get hold of Ralph Nader, because one thing that Ralph Nader is really good at is following the money. There's something very strange going on here, and we don't have access to enough information to really determine which are the major industries that are putting this amount of pressure on both parties to make this thing disappear. It used to be the insurance companies, but now we have this ACA. So what is, you know, we need somebody like a Nader, some kind of an investigative attorney willing to chase down what these sort of dark forces are that are preventing this very, very basic thing from occurring.
Yeah. So tell me, what will happen if the ERA does not prevail at this point? Will that be the end? You say the last chance of the century. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, sure.
Go ahead.
It will take us 100 years if we start over to get an equal rights amendment into the Constitution. So anytime you hear anyone talk about starting the ERA over, what they really mean is we never want women who are alive right now to enjoy fundamental rights.
And I think, you know, that the sad thing is that there are presently ideas to start over, which is preposterous. As we know, it has to go through all the state legislatures. And, you know, as people that spent the past 10 years of our lives going from state to state and working in these state legislatures, it's only getting more reactionary and bizarre. And the chances of getting 38 of them to vote for women are slim to nil.
Absolutely.
And also, it's a little bit disturbing when people that you see as supposedly pro-women or even leadership in the women's movement and Congress people that made their bones off our backs saying, you know what, let's start over. We can just start this thing again. We'll just have Congress. The other thing that's preposterous, according to our attorney and multiple lawyers that we've talked to, is the idea of removing a deadline that expired in 1982. I mean, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a genius, but I can tell you that it's pretty clear that a deadline that expired is finished. You know,
it's
not something that can then be revived and removed.
Right.
I would love to smash that. And I also want to cut in and let Fran and everyone know that we have a call.
Oh, that's great. Can you put the caller on the line, Max?
Go ahead, caller.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi there. You've got less than a minute to speak with our guests or to make your comment.
Hi, how are you doing? I am not a woman, of course, but I hope you won't hold that against me. I was just wondering if we have plans to contact, like, every women's organization there is, from, of course, National Organization for Women and NARWHAL, all the way down to, you know, the Women's Auxiliary in Podunk, Iowa. Call them all up. Ask them if they can get a conversation going, if they can get them information, email them, you know, just grassroots organize it.
So we've been
doing
this
since
2009, and one of the main tools that we use that's been very effective in how we've gotten as far as we've gotten is that we made a documentary film detailing why the Equal Rights Amendment is necessary, all the issues surrounding it, how it benefits, et cetera. We also have a half-hour version we use in schools. We use with panels. We have it in Spanish. So
you have done an amazing
education on this
for
a long time.
I'm going to have to cut in here, Kamala, because we're just about out of time. You've all been doing amazing work. I do want to mention that the National Organization for Women is featuring the fight for the ERA, you know, in their literature and at their conference, et cetera, et cetera. What I'd like to see happen is a march, a big one, because this certainly merits it. We just keep plugging, and you are doing that for all of us, and I urge people out there to please go to the Equal Means Equal website and get connected and help put your very good ideas, and thank you, caller, for that very, very good idea. Help get this going. Put the fire of the people under it, and do it now. And that is it for tonight's show. This has been the Joy of Resistance, Multicultural Feminist Radio at WBAI. We are sorry we could not get Jennifer Weiss-Wolf on the phone. Jennifer, if you're out there, we'd like to invite you back. And thank you so much, Kamala Lopez and Natalie White and all the your whole team for the incredible work you are doing for all of us. And we are going to do what we can. I know we all are. So that's it. That's a wrap. And we will be back in 2 weeks with more of Joy of Resistance and the ongoing fight of women worldwide for full equality and equal rights, which we do not have as yet. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fran. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you, Halsey, and thank you, Max. All right, we're going out with, there we go, nice ERA song.
Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex.
Land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood.
What will New York City look like after the pandemic? Whose interests will city officials uphold? On Tuesday, New Yorkers will begin to answer those questions when they go to the polls to choose a new mayor, comptroller, public advocate, and city council. To make sense of it all, join us Tuesday from 5 to 8 p.m. for the Independence Election Night Special. We'll speak with activists, organizers, and political commentators like WBAI's Tom Robbins and Ben Max. Our reporters in the field will bring you live interviews from polling stations across the city with voters talking about their choices. Don't miss the Independence Election Night Special this Tuesday from 5 to 8 p.m.
All around me, a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me.
Hey, this is Michael, a BAI buddy from Brooklyn. WBAI, oh, WBAI, you're listening to WBAI, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Listen and learn. And become a BAI buddy today.
This is Phil Donahue. And you're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5.
Ron Daniels, the Institute of the Black World.